Hi, this is Pastor Frank at First Discipleship Christian Talk. Welcome to this podcast and episode, Mainstream Christianity versus Jesus Christ, Part 2. November 2nd, 1920 was the first national radio broadcasting. The very first time that one voice can be heard by those who owned or can afford a radio. This was the first developed technological device to reach people in their homes, and for the first time, a person can be heard live across the U.S. radio waves. By the 1940s, it was commonplace to have a home radio and mass communication received. If you think about it, this was as revolutionary as in 1861 when the telegraph wire replaced the Pony Express for communications. Here is an article that I found. Paul Rader, 1879 to 1938, was one of the pioneers of Christian radio. Before becoming a famous evangelist, Rader had been a cowboy, a football coach, and a boxer. He pastored the Moody Church of Chicago of 1915 to 1921, and in 1922 started the Chicago Gospel Tabernacle on Chicago's north side. The 5,000-seat steel tent was erected to house a summer evangelistic campaign. When the crowds kept coming, the structure was enclosed, and the evangelistic ministries of the TAB became a fixture of Chicago fundamentalism in the 1920s and early 30s. It goes on to say, in 1930, Rader signed a contract with the Columbia Broadcasting System, or CBS, to begin a national broadcast of his daily morning show, The Breakfast Brigade. Rader's timing could not have been worse given the onset of the Great Depression. The show ended soon after it began due to the lack of funding. Evangelicals would have to wait a few years for their first successful national radio program. The last part of the article reads, Charles Fuller, who would go on to found Fuller Seminary, was the man for the job. Fuller was converted in 1916 while listening to Rader preach at the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. Fuller's old-fashioned revival hour aired its first national broadcasting over the Mutual Broadcasting System on October 3, 1937. He built its audience to an estimated 20 million listeners by the mid-1940s. Evangelical radio had gone national. In 1950, the population of the United States was 150,325,798. By 1950, Billy Graham had a national radio program called The Hour of Decision, with an estimated 20 million listeners. Before I get too far ahead, I want to point to the condition of the American Christian Church before the age of radio. Let's backtrack to pre-radio times of the local town church or churches. Before 1920, the church doors were open, but still segregated to hear the gospel. The gospel was preached sermon by sermon, church by church, Saturday or Sunday, and services during midweek. Traditionally and historically at this time, Western American Christianity resembled biblical functions and operations of the first century church in essence. I want to point out that breaking tradition meant breaking traditional apostolic work, the prophetic, evangelism, pastoring, and Bible teaching. Breaking away from the one-on-one personal encounters to the faceless, hands-free electronic church of the age of Christian radio to the American Christian masses. It's difficult to give terms to this form of impersonal gospel. I am not sure this is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, the greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The way I read this, God is sovereign. He opens doors and closes them. If you don't know how to filter your prayers through the will and purpose of God in Jesus Christ, don't bother asking. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Very much like the narrative of Babel in Genesis when man was building the Ziggurat Tower in direct rebellion against God, Genesis chapter 11. I want to point out and have you recognize certain breaks in traditional American Christianity and the benchmark being the book of Acts as in the first century church. Number one, the age of radio. Number two, the season of the tent meeting crusades. Number three, the season of faith healing revivals. And number four, the evolution of the megachurch. This progression predicated itself on the shoulders of the previous and never stopped moving forward. I will systematically cover all these subjects as in the timeline of Western 20th century American Christianity in separate episodes in this podcast. I took you through a short journey of America and the threat of communism to get to this point. The Red Scare was a real phenomenon and a threat due to all the workers' unions and the union strikes in America at that time. The political fear of the poor and working class rising up and adopting communism as a government for social and financial equity. When equity is worked out, equality can take shape. Similar revolutions in France and Russia took place for the same reason, the execution of the Romanovs and of King Louis XVI. Similar to church and state combined, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a French philosopher, said, "Manifestly contrary to the law of nature, that a handful of people should gorge themselves with the superfluities while the hungry multitude goes in want of necessities." Christianity is a neutral religion of faith in love and justice, just dependent on which group was in charge, and from that experience is how you will judge it. My question would be, what does that have to do with Jesus Christ? Since the Cold War had everything to do with politics and money, the question is, how do the politicians and the government get the American people to be patriotic and Christian, or at least religious at the same time? Some of the strongest arguments of anti-religious and anti-church sentiments and philosophical thought point to the abuse of religious power and maltreatment of non-Christian people. Imperialism and colonialism of Catholic nations such as Spain, Great Britain, France, and Portugal have historically given ammunition to such criticism. There are compounded strata of deliberate misconduct from the church that are consistently added year by year. The critics are keeping score. Misconduct in church history is the large percentage of criticism of anti-religious and communistic rhetoric. I read this article. According to Karl Marx, religion in this world of exploitation is an expression of distress, and at the same time, it is also a protest against the real distress. In other words, religion continues to survive because of oppressive social conditions. The goal of the United States was to venture into an unprecedented vision of human freedoms in 1776 by its very governing documents, including freedom of religion. It is yet to be seen what religion evolves into when its adherers are given the freedom to develop it without hindrance and censorship by legal rights on a federal level. Protestant Christian revivals in the 13 colonies started as early as 1730 and 1740s. Then later on in 1790 through 1840, a second wave of revivals of Protestant Christians in America, a third wave from 1855 to 1930, and the fourth wave from 1960 to 1980. When I hear someone say old-time religion, I automatically think of these eras of American Christianity. The American revivals of Protestant Christianity have always been a rallying point since the 1730s for reform. If you can hear and see the panoramic wide-angle view here, this is a very sophisticated, organic progression of organized Christianity in its infancy in America. I am not saying that this is all malevolent or harmful, but statistics, numbers, the reaction of the masses, and then adding politics and government? Because of a certain level of interdependence, American patriotism is almost synonymous with Christianity. Now, I believe God is sovereign, and if this is his method of allowing man to spread the gospel, then so be it. But when the gospel is put into the wrong human hands, then it needs to be analyzed. To tie up this episode, history tells its own story and narrative. Each event is connected, and some events are unprecedented, the first of its kind. From overcrowded Europe, the Protestant Reformation, the search for freedom of religion, and the endeavoring to create a government and a nation of freedom and equal rights. This is the progression of human history and the human future. As an American Christian church, do we still resemble the first church of the Book of Acts? Is the focus still on Jesus Christ? I will end with this as a teaser for the next episode of this podcast. Harry S. Truman and Billy Graham, The Complications of Blending American Religion and American Politics. This is Pastor Frank at First Discipleship Christian Talk. Amen.